song. Well, I hope it was very convicting this morning, very challenging, but again, very, very pleasing as far as God's working in your heart's concerned. Could you tell? I don't want you to go there and do that. I don't want you to forget my God. I don't want you to forsake Him. But it all starts when we start following after other gods. And what happens, folks? One unbiblical choice at a time directs our attention away from being faithful and just simply doing what God orders up through the blessed Word of God. I want to add to that, I've got a couple of messages I do with this, but again, for time's sake, don't have time to present both of those. But take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 145, if you would. We're kind of in the same area we were for Sunday school. I preached from Psalm 142 and Psalm 143. But this is where God directed me. When I was again burdened about the children of God just going constantly, continually away from God instead of just choosing to do God's will for their lives. And folks, I'm seeing that in a fashion, in a way that I've never seen it in my Christian life. Again, a comfort with sin, a confidence. I don't have to be that biblical. I don't have to be that Christ-like. But folks, more than ever, we need to be biblical. More than ever, we need to be Christ-like, because we're in a very dark and needy world, and someone needs to start doing what's right to show them who Jesus is and how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Before I go any further, let's go ahead and bow our heads and hearts. We'll ask God again to convict us from head to toe. But again, be ready, even in your prayerful endeavors, to ask God to help you receive joyfully and again, a very tender way to His working tonight. Heavenly Father, we praise You and we thank You, Lord, on how You worked in our hearts and lives here this morning. Lord, in Sunday school, as we talked about the down times in life where we, you know, get more focused on our top of our shoes than looking unto Jesus, and we kind of get a cave mentality, you know, dark, you know, discomforted, and then even a dead end as far as life and life's choices are concerned. But Lord, thank You for being our deliverer. Thank You, God, for being our ever-present help. And Lord, looking to set us free from this weak old flesh that seeks to basically contain us and control us instead of us being yielded to the power and wherewithal of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, You know how I love this people. You know, Lord, how I want this church to stay strong and go forward in faithfulness, not just being busy with church stuff, but about the Master's business. And Lord, like they've done in the past and continue to do in the future, not just produce fruit, but much fruit for You. Oh God, build a hedge about this church. Lord, build a hedge about these people of Your protecting almighty hand, with Your protecting almighty hand. And God, help us to rely on You and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, Lord, as we look further into this responsibility of faithfulness tonight, I pray, God, You'll guide my thoughts. You'll again, God, give folks ears to hear and, Lord, a willingness to respond to what You order up this hour. Lord, we love You. We thank You and praise You now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, folks, I know I look like I died a few years ago. I understand. I look in the mirror and I see myself all the time, and I kind of cry, you know, with a little tearful sadness because I've turned into my father. Now, my father was more of the Costco size of me. Do you all understand what I mean by that? I'm half the man my father was, I'll tell you right now. And that is a concern to me because my whole family has fought the weight thing. It's probably why I work at it so hard, not to be filled with too much tonnage. You know, as you get older, I'm kind of like those old guys of yesteryear I made fun of. Hey, talk about the old days. You remember when we used to do this and we used to do that? And you used to think, don't these guys have anything better to talk about? Well, folks, when you're talking about, or let me give you a word, you're reflecting on the goodness of God, that's a real good thing to do. And it should be something we do all the time to, again, give that testimony and even instruction into the ears that are coming behind us. So they in turn will learn how good and wonderful and truly great our God is. So very simple outline here. We need to be reflective. We need to sit back and count our blessings and name them one by one. But we need to make sure we continue in reviewing those in our own minds, then rehearse those blessings in the ears and lives of those around us. You know, God tries to cut us off the path as far as fleshly choosing is concerned. And you look in the Old Testament and you see over and over and over again an instruction of God to make sure that we do reflect, that we do review, and then we rehearse or we repeat these blessings of God, of who He is, into the ears and hearts of those we again are impacting for all eternity. Let me show you here in Psalm 145 that very specific responsibility of God's will for our lives. Same principle, same truth applies to us today. It says in verse 4, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." And folks, guess what? That's a continual process of faithful choosing. Don't stop talking about how great your God is. So as we are reflective, we review and we repeat these blessings unto other, we really are describing how big and powerful and great our God truly is. Now, I came from Dunkirk, Indiana, people. It's amazing I got through high school. I think the only reason they let me graduate from Dunkirk High School. Does anybody remember that school? You Indiana historians, you know what we were called as far as a basketball team? I told this somebody the other day, and they just looked at me like, are you kidding? Did you have a sad life or what? You know, you hear about the Cougars. I can see a little snarl on that, can't you? You know, you got these Patriots, the soldiers that fight the good fight. We were called the Speed Cats. Oh, I'm not talking about some fast cheetah or some, you know, ferocious, you know, eat you up. No. And folks, let me give you a little sadder thing. I quit basketball when I was a freshman. Let me give you one big reason. We were called the Speed Kittens. Say no. You know how hard it is to play basketball with a paper bag over your head when you come out on the basketball floor? I kid you not. We were the Speed Kittens. Yay. Ooh, here comes the meow meows. Oh, brother. All right. That's kind of reflective stuff you just don't want to go back and remember because it isn't a pleasing thought. But growing up in Dunkirk, you know, you knew everybody. My English teacher was my cousin. You know, and you just kind of grew up with these people, and you really didn't have to do too much academic endeavor as far as homework or just stuff in general. It's kind of like going to a Christian school, nothing personal. But what happened, folks, I never really knew half the words I was reading in the Word of God. I just, you know, I really had to dig deep and use the dictionary a whole bunch. I did that with this word. Look in verse 1. It says, "I will extol thee." Now, folks, is that a meek extol, you know, or what is this? What's it talking about? I will extol thee. Well, here's what I found out. Praise enthusiastically. Isn't that neat? Yeah, praise enthusiastically. And I'm like, oh, God is good. Well, no wonder people don't want what we have. But when you're as wacko as your pastor, he's on drugs, people. I'm convinced of that. Does he ever sit down? I'm surprised he stopped now. I mean, we're in the song service. He's over there. I'm pretty high energy, folks, but I can't keep up with that young whippersnapper. I'm telling you right now. But you know what? His whole life praises God enthusiastically. That's what I love about your pastor. And it's the real deal because he's got a right relationship. And what I'm preaching on today is not just academics for him, it's his relationship and intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that thought in mind, I got to say something. I'm kind of OCD tonight. You know, squirrel! Has anybody seen the movie Up? Y'all with me? I have that problem, you know, sometimes. But the kid that played the trumpet, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm proud of you. But you know what the problem will be the more you play your trumpet? You have the deepest dimples I have ever seen in my life. And these girls are going, do you see his dimples? Aren't they just the cutest things you've ever seen? If I was him, I would never stop smiling. Are you with me, people? I would. Hey, girls. Huh? Yeah, that's what I would do. That's all I thought of through his whole trumpet presentation. Now, I was proud of him. He was using his talents for the glory and honor of God, but I was distracted. I'm not looking to date you. Y'all with me here? You're not my type by a long stretch of the imagination, but you sure are a cute little kid. You need to smile more, all right? All right, maybe you should play some other instrument like a guitar. Okay. So here it says, I will enthusiastically praise thee. Now, folks, do you know this section of Scripture? I've preached on it before. You should remember it just because of that. What do the last five Psalms start with and what do they end with? Do you remember? Last five Psalms, you should already know this. Praise ye the Lord. Look at it real quick. I mean, we can do this. We can just go with the next one here. Look at the next sign. It says here, praise ye the Lord. And it says at the end, praise ye the Lord. 147, praise ye the Lord. It's in, praise ye the Lord. It just goes on with that blessed privilege of exalting the name of Jesus. And folks, it's a nonstop participation activity. But most people don't do that. Because you base your response of who God is based on your personality or your circumstances, instead of being overwhelmed where you are and what you're before as far as a holy God is concerned. When you really get your eyes open to the greatness of your God, it's going to be hard to shut you up. And when you really know Him like He wants to be known, you will extol Him. You will praise Him enthusiastically. Look at verse 1 again. It says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. But it's cold outside. It's gloomy. I want the 80-degree weather again. Well, I'll move to South Carolina. That's what I did. It says, O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. And this is probably the most well-known verse of this very blessed, well-known psalm. It's verse 3. In verse 3 it says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Boy, if you could get caught up in that verse alone, it will change your ministry impact. You'll be as wacko as your pastor. You'll be as exuberant in your activities as him. And folks, listen, isn't it sad most Christians don't go there and do that? Because we're all standing before a great God who is greatly to be praised. And folks, you can't say enough about how great our God is, but we fall way too short. And then we wonder why our kids aren't enthusiastic. We wonder why our neighbors don't want what we have. Because again, folks, we really don't spend enough time with Him to really know Him as He wants to be known, and therefore we don't praise Him as with enthusiastic, presentation, folks, like we should every day enthusiastically praise our God. I think I've told you this before. I planted a church. Can you imagine me being your pastor? I'm this way all the time. I'm just sad and sorry to say that. That's why my wife doesn't travel with me. That's why Joey and Sam are dumping me. That's right, they're going another direction. No, they've got other responsibilities. But you know, there was this guy in my church. I pastored a church in Portland, Indiana, just south of Fort Wayne, about an hour of my hometown area. And as I was in this church, I had one of those praise God all the time type of people. I mean, this guy, I don't care when you're around him, where you are. And let me tell you, this guy had a horrible family life. And this guy was, you know, he was in his 70s probably at the time when I was pastoring, but his kids were a mess, and this was a problem here. But that didn't slow him down, folks, from telling everybody he could about how good his God is. And even when he's by himself, he's praising God. How do I know that? There was this guy who built our church. His name was Larry Poole, and he was a rascal of a guy. And he was our mission field as far as soul went in, trying to lead him to Jesus Christ and his whole family. Well, what happened, this friend of mine, this guy who was the praising person, he was at the gas pump. Now, folks, I like to sniff gas fumes. Y'all with me? I know it's not good for you, but I like the smell, okay? I like a good stogie when it's lit too, but I don't do it real often. Smoke it, let alone smell it. But what happened was, this guy is at the pump all by himself. And he's praising God. And this guy's on the other side of the pump going, who's he talking to? What's this nutcase doing? He looked around, oh, it's Jim. Yeah, because Jim was known as a person who enthusiastically praised God, not just to be a show. Have you been in those churches? Praise God. Jesus is good. And you get out there, they're like, I'll get you, my pretty. You know, they're just not the same thing. You know, they get in performance mode of, God is so good, hallelujah. Walk the aisle, wave the hand, and you know, when you see them in real life representation, that's hypocrisy. Folks, the real deal is when you get to know him, you spend time with him. You're wowed by who he is and what he's done and what he's promised to do. And then it won't be a dreaded duty, but just a natural response of who you have become in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can extol him enthusiastically because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So what do we do with that knowledge or that understanding? Well, we reflect on it. You know, we kind of think through how God has demonstrated that in our own lives. You know, today as I was praying about this and I was trying to decide which message I needed to preach tonight, and I do have more than seven. You're living testimonies of that. I've been here enough times. But I was thinking about how God has so just abundantly blessed my life. Now, enough, I can tell you just testimony after testimony, just the past 2 or 3 years, you know, going through this voice issue and how I wasn't working and how God shut me down, but God never shut off his blessing. And God provided and met my needs. Boy, I can give you all kinds of testimony, but let me give you a fun one. I was at Bob Jones University. Now, this is not the way to go through school if God doesn't order it up as such. I didn't get saved until I was 22. I was called to preach when I was 25. Y'all remember this? I was a car dealer. I had my own Ford dealership at the age of 25. I could have been big bucks, or you missionaries would have loved me because I could give you more money. But what happened was, folks, this. God just obviously called me to go preach the gospel. So I had to tell Dad, Dad, I'm leaving, you're staying. Well, what happened, I go down to Bible college. And I had a good setup down there. I think I've told you this before. I was going to work for Fairway Ford down in Greenville, South Carolina. Man, they were hungry to have me because I not only knew how to sell, I knew how to manage. And boy, they thought that was a hot, let's get it done commodity. But what happened, because of my school schedule, which was the priority, I could only be there at cherry picking time. You know what I mean by that? There are only certain times when there's good traffic and good opportunity to sell a car. And they were going to park me at that position, and these other salesmen didn't like that at all. So the guy who wanted to hire me, he said, man, I want you in the worst of ways, but I've got a coup working here. I mean, they're just getting all upset because of what you are and what's going to happen when you come a part of this business. So I had to get a real job. I had to get a job where I had to, again, just scrape and just really trust the Lord for every dime, dollar, and whatever. I end up working in an auto parts store. And in this auto parts store, I mean, I'm surrounded by losers like you've never been around losers in your life. I mean, just people in need of Jesus. And I tried to be the best testimony I could. Well, the work I had as far as digging out a hole was this. The guy that preceded me was also a Bob Jones guy. But he did more preaching than he did work. Y'all see the problem? Now, you need to look for open doors of opportunity, but you better buy up that opportunity by being a faithful, hard, diligent worker. Now, if you know me, I'm a nutcase when I start working on something. I get a project, I just can't stop until I get that project done. I wake up, I'm after it, I go to bed, I've done it all day long. I'm just a nutcase in that fashion, and that may surprise you because I'm an evangelist. You thought I was lazy and worthless. But I like to do projects and all that sort of thing. So I set out to set forth the best testimony at that auto parts store I could. I'm the stock boy. Yeah, own my old car dealership to being a stock boy. That was called humble pie that I needed a lot of helpings of. And I'm cleaning all the shelves. I went in and they used to burn brake shoes off. You know, you get these brake shoes and then they put them in a bucket of fire. Talk about toxic waste. And they just burn the residue off these brakes until OSHA shut them down. But the smoke of years of burning those brakes had come all the way up from the shop in the basement to the ceiling of the sales area. I mean, back in the stock area. I mean, it was just black as black could be. And I volunteered. I said, "Hey, Jack, that looks horrible." He was the boss, Jewish guy. I said, "Jack, can I clean those ceilings?" He went, "What?" I said, "Could you get me some scaffolding so I can clean those ceilings?" "Well, I guess so." You know, he was just kind of astounded and kind of going, "Well, what's this guy hit his head or something? What's he drinking?" You know, the guy was just amazed. So I cleaned the whole ceiling. Man, it looked like we had new ceiling tiles. It was amazing. And then I got real wacko. I said, "Can I go down to the shop and clean their walls and clean their ceiling?" And again, he's just in amazement. But why was I doing that? Because I'm an outstanding fellow to behold. I'm someone you just want to hire and have a part of your team for success in cleaning zip-da-doo-dah. I don't just look like Mr. Clean people. I want you to know that. I'm not wearing the earring, though. So I went down there, and I mean, years of grease and grime and residue. It was, the restrooms were the most disgusting potties that I have ever, I don't think they've ever been scrubbed sufficiently. And I had those things looking like ding. I mean, they were just as clean could be. What happened? I didn't have rent money. I mean, folks, nothing close. It was due that day. And I'm a prayerful, nervous wreck at this point. You know how faithful we are. So I'm praying, "Oh God, you've got to help me here. God, I don't have enough here to do this." And you know, I'm down there working, and here comes Jack. Now remember, he's a Jewish guy. No jokes about that. But he was tight as a new boot. Are y'all with me here? Very frugal in his investment opportunities. And he comes down this long stairwell, and I was kind of come up this way, and I met him eyeball to eyeball, and I saw he had something in his hand. He said, "Mike, I'm just so thankful for your extra effort, and I just want to show my appreciation." It was almost to the dollar of my rent money. And you know what I told him? I said, "Jack, thank you for that, but let me tell you something. That doesn't get you any closer to heaven." He kind of looked at me and went, "It doesn't?" I said, "No, it helps me pay my rent, and to God be the glory, but thank you for letting God use you to meet my needs." That's the way it works, folks. And it's always to God be the glory, great things he had done. But what did I do? In my work ethic, folks, it gave me opportunity to make a more impacting, biblical, lasting impact and the hearts and lives of those that God had entrusted unto me. So, folks, people are looking. People are listening. And my question for you tonight, what are they hearing? Now, I've had many blessings as far as ministry is concerned, but doing this as long as I've done it, I've got to see the ramifications of family choices. That's been a heartbreak. Now, rejoice with me. There's a lot of folks who are staying by the stuff and still faithful. But I've seen my prediction as such to come true, where I saw their carnal choices. You know, I heard their conversation. I saw them worship things other than the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's sports or whether it's this performance level here or what. But they just, again, simply worship something more than Jesus. And now, like 30-some years later, I'm seeing the ramifications or the consequences of those wrong choices. And folks, they weren't people of praise. They exalted a sport. They exalted some educational or some, you know, this, that, or the other, instead of doing what, folks, we should do continually, and that's praising and exalting our God. I don't want you to forget my Jesus. I don't want you caught up with other gods. I don't want you to forsake him. But folks, I'm warning you, it's going to happen in your life. If you keep messing around with everything but the right thing, you will suffer the consequences of your fleshly choosing. So we want to stop the bleeding, don't we? We want our children to have no question of how great your God is in your sight, because you have been reflective. You've counted your blessings. You've named them one by one. Then when you're again looking to go in a carnal direction or a displeasing place to God, you review those blessings of God and say, how can I go south spiritually when God has been so good to me? But don't stop there. Make sure you rehearse or repeat those truths to those people you're supposed to repeat those truths. Let's go back to this next verse where the responsibility is very clear. It says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Now look at this. They shall be abundantly uttered. Not just during testimony time on a Wednesday night or maybe around a campfire or whatever the case may be. No, folks, this is something that's continuous. It's something that should not just be a little but a whole bunch. He says, then shall they abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. Now, I know you know, you think God's more kind and more, again, blessing on this guy than he is for you. Well, maybe your blesser's busted. Maybe your opportunity of biblical representation has gone a direction that God's not pleased with. Folks, God's not going to honor you because in your dishonoring choices. You know, just like with your kids, you don't reward them when they do wrong. No, you discipline them if you're a good parent, because you want them to be in a place of faithfulness, not just in your home family function, but in their function in the family of God. So when they become mom and dad, they will reflect, they will review, and they will repeat, God is so very very good. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of the kingdom and talk of thy power. They shall make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generation. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up those that be bowed down. And then it goes on again to continually bless and praise God for his goodness. Now, getting saved at 22, I wasn't blessed like some of you kids are. You've been under Bible teaching since you could burp and walk. I mean, you've been just so spoiled with teaching after teaching upon teaching. Folks, I was clueless to the truths of the Word of God. One of the impacting parental chapters in my life came with this particular section of Scripture. And you know where I'm going probably. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, would you please? This was probably as helpful to me as a parent as much as any passage I learned as a new believer in Christ. Now, I just got married. I was married in June, and I got saved in November. Right after that, I did the Lawrence Welk traveling show. Some of you remember that. That's a story in and of itself. But, folks, I want to show you Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll close out with this section of Scripture here. You've had enough of me today. Go down. Please, no amens at that time. That was just a kind of rhetorical statement there that really didn't demand an answer. So look back at this passage, and let me show you some wonderful things demonstrated as far as responsibility and right choosing is concerned. It goes on. Well, let me just start in verse 1. It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. In other words, wherever you're going, You need to choose to be faithful to what God orders up. Very simple principle. Look in verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons. You see that passing thing? Hey, hey, go along, baby. Man, there you go. Did you catch that? Did you get it? Oh, wait, let's do that again. Here it is. Yeah, this is what God says. This is what you need to be taught, but this is what you need to teach. Because your children need to hear how great your God is. And we continue with that thought. He said, and thy son's sons all the days of thy life. Now, folks, I'm not the sharpest pencil. You guys got that. But all the days of your life means all the days of your life. It, again, is a continuing process of reflecting, reviewing, and repeating. Do I need to say that like 12 more times? Yeah, get very nostalgic. I'm that way at 64 years old. And I again, am so overwhelmed that God hadn't killed me yet. I'm so thankful that God is ever on his throne and Jesus is ever living on my behalf. And he promises he'll supply my needs according to the riches found in him. Glory, hallelujah. God is so good. And it says that thy days may be prolonged. Now, look on and listen carefully. I'm really going to park hard on verses 4 through verse 9 here, but let me read here verse 3 for setup. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it. Again, don't just listen, learn. Then apply what you're being taught. We're not real good at that, people. We learn and we learn and we learn and we learn and we don't put it into practice and we wonder why the life's not working the way God says it's supposed to be working. It's not God's fault, people. Yeah, observe, but observe to do all that is written therein. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised thee, and the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now listen here. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now here's the responsibility. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Folks, if we don't get that right, you're not going to do the rest right. It's just not going to happen. Unless, again, you look to be in relationship with your God to this depth, in this fashion, you will not be functioning faithfully as God would have you to function faithfully, even though you may be reflecting on what you've done thus far and kind of reviewing. You're not hooked to the heart of God like he wants you to be hooked. So, folks, if I didn't preach anything else tonight, I want to park on that for you. Because, folks, we, again, are prone to wander. We are drifters by nature. And, yes, maybe somewhere along our journey, our life in Christ Jesus, we made that commitment. But are we there now? Is that your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, you're not as right with God as you think or pretend to be. So what's the very simple setup here? It says again, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. How? What's he want? Well, all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. If you don't come forward for anything else tonight, if this is not right between you and God, you need to come and get this settled between him and you. Because I guarantee you're not right with God. And you won't rightly fulfill responsibilities of faithfulness unto him. But keep reading. It says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Folks, I get sick and tired of academic, astute Christians who are worthless for Jesus. And I see them all the time. I'm just so irritated by these guys who spout these great things of theological jots and tittles and this parsing and this thing, but they're nowhere close to really being faithful and fruitful. As I understand, we're supposed to be faithful and fruitful. They don't seem to care about a lost and dying world. They just want more books to read. You know what, folks? We need to read this book more. Now, I'm not against reading other books. No, we can get thoughts and quips, but just make sure it lines up with the book, the blessed Word of God. But folks, when are we going to start putting this book into practice? Have you got that plan for tomorrow? Have you already established yourself so much in Jesus that you're going to take what you have learned today, and by God's grace and His leading, you're going to put it into practice tomorrow, because that is what God saved and called you and me to be, and you and me to do. It says, "In these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Then here's what I'm parking on, and this is God again cutting us off of the path as far as carnal choosing versus biblically being correct. It says in verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them how," folks? Diligently. What does diligently mean? It means great effort, great concern, and make sure that you're making, again, the right effort as far as this responsibility. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be on the frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." What in the world is that about? All the time. All the time, you're looking for another door to walk through to tell someone you're with how great your God is, especially your family. Now, I know it's October. I know you Cubby fans are hopeful. I know you're going to have a crushing time, emotional devastation. You'll go down to cave Christianity. Yeah, you know, dead end. I understand that, you know. But you know what, folks? Isn't it amazing how folks don't shut up about the Cubs? They're the most obnoxious fans I have ever met in my life. It was almost unbearable last year. I almost got off the road for that alone, people, because I was sick of it. Everywhere I went, Cubby fans. And they're about as bad as the Green Bay Packers. You know, the Packer fans, they're about that obnoxious, too. Of course, we don't say much about the Colts nowadays, do we?
I'm from Indianapolis. Yeah, we lost Peyton Manning. It's been downhill since. He went to the Broncos. Yeah, he killed him there, too.
You know, y'all with me here, isn't it amazing how we don't shut up about that stuff we're so near and dear to? Well, maybe the problem is you're not as near and dear to your God as you're supposed to be and could be. That's why you don't talk about that victorious relationship. But folks, what is the instruction? What did God use this passage for Mike Maynard? I don't want to ever shut up, especially in my home, about how great our God is. And greatly to be praised. But folks, we've got to take this as a personal responsibility. That I'm here to reflect on God's goodness. Again, really think through how God on a daily basis has so blessed me and spoiled me, ever-loving, rotten. And then when I start looking at someone else, I need to kind of slap myself up the side of the head as such and say, Maynard, you need to think through this again. You need to sit down and shut up and review how great your God is, because you're starting to go a direction you're not supposed to go. You're starting to get a little more attachment in your heart and life to things that really are taking the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, folks, you're as unfaithful as a day as long as far as repeating or rehearsing the greatness of God and to those you're supposed to be telling the greatness of your God. Folks, I don't want you to miss out and mess up as far as your testimony for Jesus and your love relationship with Him. I don't want you to follow an empty temporal God. I don't want you to be duped by the lies of the devil. I don't want you to again forget how God has so blessed you so obviously and abundantly every single day, but I'm telling you, it's going to become a casual relationship instead of a wowing, wonderful relationship if you don't reflect on that goodness. You don't review that continually in your own heart because, folks, it won't be fresh. It won't be on the front of your mind. It won't be on, again, the filling of your heart. The tip of your tongue is such. Something else will replace that which should be about how great your God truly is. Dad, you're the pace setter. Mom, support him in that. You know, and again, folks, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy the Cubbies. You can't, you know, don't you want to root for, I'm not talking about that. Don't go somewhere I'm not going. But folks, not at the expense of, again, being unfaithful to our God, who is great and greatly to be praised. So here's a couple of opportunities as far as invitation's concerned. The first biggie is found down in verse 5, where it says again, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." You may need just to come and recommit yourself to that kind of relationship with my Jesus. And then practice what's preached here. You, again, buy it up as your very own, but make sure you invest those truths into those that you care for. And you have a responsibility of repeating unto those that are under your leadership, under your list of responsibility, so they in turn can tell their kids, and then their kids can tell their kids. And folks, we can have several generations that keep on keeping on for the glory and honor of God.